This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and writing in children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The chief of the Environmental Protection Agency told Congress in 2010, quote, "The science behind climate change is settled, and human activity is responsible for global warming," close quote. He sounded like he thought he was Moses coming down from the mountain to give us the final word on the future. However, a new book by Steve Gorham called The Mad, Mad, Mad World of Climatism says that the very nature of science is that nothing is ever settled, and new evidence must always be subjected to debate and peer review. Climatism is the word for the belief that man-made greenhouse gases are destroying Earth's climate. Climatists continue to claim that warming trends exist and that we humans are responsible for it. Scientific evidence shows that warming trends occur naturally. Climate change is real and continuous. Winter storms, summer heat, drought, hurricanes, tornadoes, and tsunamis are all blamed by these scientists on man's misuse of the planet. Extreme weather events are used to push expensive policies on the public. Freedom and capitalism are not compatible with the doctrine of environmental sustainability, which calls for these elites to direct the activities of mankind to preserve the planet. Government subsidies, tax breaks, and penalties have benefited some companies greatly, so that some in the scientific community have supported climatism. When scientists dispute man-made warming, attempts are made to keep them silent. One member of the American Physical Society said, "The global warming scam is the most successful pseudo-scientific fraud I have seen in my life as a physicist." To get the real side of the story, you can read Steve Gorham's provocative new book called The Mad, Mad, Mad World of Climatism.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Is global warming an imaginary threat? Is it authentic science or politics? Is it about the future of humanity or about money and power? At eagleforum.org, a blog with Phyllis Schlafly delivers the latest news and opinions. Add your comments to the Climate Change blog at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Schlafly Report.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available. Or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day. $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome. Excuse me. Welcome back. This is Deanna. I don't have a guest today. We're talking about the Federal Reserve and how it came into being. On March 12, 1912, Andrew J. Frame, president of Waukesha National Bank, gave an address entitled Diagnosis of the National Monetary Commission Bill before the Bankers and Businessmen's Club of Memphis, Tennessee. Frame condemned the Aldrich Bill because it would destroy independent banking and create a great banking and money monopoly. He said it was a scheme for wild and dangerous currency and credit inflation, certain to react on the banks and the country in the shape of frequent panics following periods of excessive expansion and speculation, and that the proposed remedy is worse than the claimed disease. The Aldrich Plan proponents waged an aggressive war against all opposition. Warburg was behind the establishment of the National Citizens League, led by Professor Oliver Sprague, who was a professor of banking and finance at Harvard, and Harvard-educated James L. Laughlin of the Economics Department of the University of Chicago, a school that was the recipient of $50 million from John D. Rockefeller. Sprague, an advisor to the Bank of England, wrote a history of crises under the national banking system for the National Monetary Commission. He took a leave from Harvard when the president appointed him executive assistant to U.S. Treasury Secretary in 1933. Excuse me. The law shields the wealthy because of their power from the consequences of their fraudulent criminal conduct. At the time of the legislation, there were 24,392 banks which would fall into their grasp, destined to destroy popular government, accommodate the money changers by establishing the gold standard, and largely destroy silver as a medium of exchange while instituting a paper currency. Wall Street, the big banks, and Congress precipitated a new financial and political entity on the country, an informal branch of the government that dominated the other two branches. Congress forfeited their exclusive responsibility to issue and regulate the supply of public funds and bank credit for 50 years. However, did Congress, a cabal of lawyers and bankers, really forfeit its duty or create a cash cow that it could milk for what now has become a century? Okay, now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty about the Federal Reserve, the money trust. President William Howard Taft, according to a dissent, had refused to pass the Federal Reserve legislation. Yet, Taft, who was Skull and Bones, who had empowered the Internet Commerce Commission, accommodated Philander C. Knox, the Secretary of State, who lied about the ratification of the 16th Amendment. The government added that amendment to the Constitution on February 3, 1913, just before Taft left office. In addition, Taft targeted underdeveloped Latin American and Asian nations through his dollar diplomacy using U.S. military enforcement. While he implemented some profit-producing plans, he failed to accommodate those who wanted a central bank and was soon out of a job. In January and February 1913, a subcommittee of the House Banking and Currency conducted meetings. Warburg, considering his experience in foreign banking, testified before the subcommittee along with Barton Hepburn and Victor Moravetz, who in 1910 wrote the article, The Banking and Currency Problem and Its Solution, Defects in the Existing System. Moravetz noted that there were more than 20,000 independent banks and trust companies at that time. As I mentioned earlier, there were 24,392 independent banks. On April 7, 1913, Republican Senator Henry Cabot Lodge introduced the Aldrich Bill. On June 23, 1913, President Wilson addressed a joint session of Congress on banking and currency reform. Senator Robert L. Owen introduced Senate Bill number 2639, and this is in the Senate Report, Part 2, pages 33 to 66. Representative Carter Glass, future Treasury Secretary, a skilled orator, introduced House Resolution 6454 on June 26, 1913. And this is in the House Report, pages 111 to 130, the first official introduction of Wilson's Federal Reserve Act proposal. On July 2, 1913, Representative Charles A. Lindbergh, Sr., introduced H.R. House Resolution 6578, which included a stipulation, and I quote, for the period of 20 years from its organization, unless sooner dissolved by act of Congress, unquote. Congress, co-benefactors of the Federal Reserve Act, can dissolve the Federal Reserve any time by legislation, the same way in which it created that subsidiary corporation. Representative Arsene P. Puyo, Chairman of the House Banking and Currency Committee and also a member of the National Monetary Commission, convened an investigation to investigate the Money Trust, an elite group of Wall Street bankers. The Puyo Committee conducted hearings akin to the Fox investigating chicken seizures from the hen house between May 16th and 1912 and February 26, 1913. Its comprehensive yet biased three-volume report with hundreds of policies and regulations apparently satisfied the people's trust and swayed public opinion, which assisted in the passage of the Federal Reserve Act and the Clayton Antitrust Act of 1914. The actions and recorded documents of Congress leading up to the passage of the Federal Reserve Act amounted to 300 pages of committee reports and 1,300 pages in the Congressional Record. Thereafter, Congress added thousands of pages. Congress enacted H.R. 7837 for the establishment of the Federal Reserve System, introduced by Glass, Chairman of the House Committee on Banking and Currency, on August 29, 1913. And this is in the Congressional Record, number 50, page 3925. This 160-page bill went back to the House on September 9, 1913, and it passed 287 to 85 with 5 present, 55 not voting, on September 18, 1913. And this is in the Congressional Record, number 50, page 5129. The day it referred the bill to the Senate. Okay, so it went from the House to the Senate. From September 2nd to October 27th, 1913, the Senate Banking and Currency Committee, chaired by Owen, conducted hearings during which Frank Vanderlip gave testimony. On November 6, 1913, Vanderlip persuaded the Senate Banking Committee to adopt some of his ideas, which put the committee into a deadlock by November 20th. Senator Gilbert Hitchcock, on November 22nd, according to the Congressional Record on page 5962, proposed that the Senate accept the Vanderlip Plan, and the Senate made such amendments to House Resolution 7837 on November 24, 1913. And this is in the Senate Report, Part 3, pages 6 through 24, which created Owen's 131-page substitute bill. The Senate discussed the amended House Resolution 7837 and passed it on December 18th, 1913. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All righty, we are back. This is Deanna. I'm talking about the Federal Reserve. The Senate discussed the amended House Resolution 7837 and passed it on December 18, 1913, with 54 yeas to 34 nays, with 7 not voting. The House disagreed with the Senate amendment and opted for a conference report. Both legislative bodies reached an agreement and each voted for the passage of the 30-page H.R. 7837 in the House, which, of course, has 435 members, on December 22nd, with 298, that's a majority, people, with 298 to 60. And on December 23rd in the House, which has had 96 members, 43-25 with 27 not voting. President Wilson signed H.R. 7837 on December 23rd, 1913, Article 1, Section 5, Paragraph 3 of the Constitution provides that one-fifth of those present, 11 senators, if no more than a quorum is present, can order the yeas and nays, also known as a roll call vote for or a recorded vote. There was no midnight voting. There was no just a few people who stayed behind during the Christmas break. That's a bunch of garbage. But it's a myth, and people keep repeating it and repeating it because it sounds true, and if people repeat it long enough and regularly enough, then people believe it. But it's a big, fat lie. When the House approved the measure, Congressman Lindbergh said, and I quote, "The money trust caused the 1907 panic and thereby forced Congress to create a National Monetary Commission." Further, he said, and I quote, "The money trust would cause a money stringency in order to force the bill through Congress. This bill is passed by Congress as a Christmas present to the money trust," unquote. Congressman Lindbergh, according to the Congressional Record of February 12, 1917, wrote articles of impeachment for members of the Federal Reserve Board. William P. G. Harding, and that's not the same as the president, governor. Paul Warburg, vice governor. Frederick Delano, who's a crypto Jew. Adolph C. Miller and Charles S. Hamlin, who was the first chairman of the Fed. He charged them with high crimes and misdemeanors in aiding, abetting, and conspiring with certain persons and firms herein after named and with other persons and firms known and unknown in a conspiracy to violate the Constitution and the laws of the United States, unquote. Probably for retribution for his continued criticism, thugs kidnapped his grandson on March 1, 1932, and shortly thereafter murdered him. Lindbergh, father of the famous, Lindbergh, father of the famous aviator, criticized the banking trust and wrote a book, Why Is Your Country at War?, attempting to explain the corruptness of the banking trust and its complicity with Congress. He also referred to the Hazard Circular distributed by Jay Cook, the government's fiscal agent, at the end of the so-called Civil War. This pamphlet had the statement, and I quote, "We lay down the proposition that our national debt, made permanent and rightly managed, will be a national blessing. The funded debt of the United States is the addition of 3,000 millions, that's 3 billion, to the previously realized wealth of the nation. It is 3,000 millions added to the actual available capital," unquote. Alexander Hamilton also used the phrase national blessing when referring to the national debt. Several large Wall Street-controlled newspapers continually vilified Lindbergh for calling attention to the banking trust. A Pilgrim Society member typically manages the New York Federal Reserve. Many bankers, industrialists, diplomats, and politicians have been Pilgrim Society members. Mellon, Rockefeller, Astor, Warburg, Rothschild, DuPont, Harriman, Vanderbilt, Duke, Reynolds, and Kuhlman. These are the same family names revealed in Lundberg's America's 60 Families. He provides credible evidence that a hierarchy of the country's 60 richest families own and control the United States, actually a corporation. These politically incestuous families cooperate with each other, belong to secret societies, and interact at various levels. The inner circle of wealth and power often delegates others, like members of Congress, to implement certain activities and policies. Fractional reserve banking, used by the Rothschilds with great success, is dishonest and enslaving. Federal Reserve currency replaced U.S. Treasury Department notes. The federal government does not redeem these notes for gold, silver, or anything else. Up to 1928, currency carried this statement, redeemable in gold on demand at the United States Treasury or in gold or lawful money at any Federal Reserve Bank, unquote. Prior to 1933 and FDR's Jew deal, the government redeemed them for gold. Before 1964, people could redeem some notes for silver. From 1934 to 1971, only foreign note holders could redeem them for gold at a fixed rate. Now, all assets held in collateral by the Federal Reserve, including Social Security number holders and their assets, back Federal Reserve notes. The Federal Reserve's assets, as of November 14, 2007, per their reports, totaled $925 billion. Remember Clint's article, Federal Reserve Pays Treasury $75 billion in profit. 20 years after Congress created the Federal Reserve in 1913, its influence on U.S. domestic and foreign policy became well established. In 1933, Congressman Lewis T. McFadden wrote, and I quote, "Every effort has been made by the Federal Reserve Board to conceal its powers, but the truth is, the Fed has usurped the government. It controls everything here in Congress, and it controls all our foreign relations. It makes and breaks governments at will," unquote. Since Wilson's presidency, the Federal Reserve has managed the majority of the U.S. presidents. Alternatively, is it the other way around? Does the U.S. corporation control the Federal Reserve in behalf of those few wealthy families who control Congress? Remember, Congress could end this, but they won't. In 1901, the national debt was less than $1 billion. After World War I, it was $25 billion. Between the world wars, it increased to $49 billion. In 1952, in the midst of the Korean War under UN command, the debt stood at $72 billion. In 1962, it was $303 billion, which increased to $383 billion by 1970 during the Vietnam War. By 1976, the end of the Vietnam War, it was $631 billion. During the 1980s, with the Cold War military buildup, the debt increased substantially. International bankers funded both the U.S. and the Soviets. President Dwight D. Eisenhower's executive order in 1953 classified all congressional records showing the massive banker-funded technological transfers beginning in 1916. By 1998, the debt was over $5.5 trillion. Now it's over $15 trillion and climbing. This does not include personal indebtedness such as credit card, car loans, or mortgages. According to authors Geraldine Perry and Ken Fausick in Two Faces of Money, the two kinds of money are debt-based, which is owed, and debt-free or owned money. So you have two kinds of money, owed and owned. The Federal Reserve, since its inception, has kept the nation burdened with debt, with a debt-based monetary system. Debt-based money represents credit, which includes usury to use the money. Be right back in 3 minutes.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne, Glucosamine Chondroitin, Sea Cucumber, Colloidal Minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Deanna, I was talking about The Two Faces of Money, a book written by Geraldine Perry and Ken Fausick, and they say that there are two kinds of money, one that is owed and one that is debt-free or owned. Okay, a legitimate monetary authority should create debt-free money that bears no interest, which people spend into circulation as money of exchange. It is owned money based on one's own productivity. Debt-based money used by central banks in over 170 countries employs money of accounts. Many items that have been used as money, including livestock, grains, beads, shells, tally sticks, hemp, gold, and silver, all owned by the people who use them, which represented real wealth. These debt-free items were produced or owned by the one who was circulating them as a medium of trade. Currency printed by the Federal Reserve represents money owed to that entity by whoever borrows it, be it an individual, a bank, an institution, or a government. Our money supply, the currency in circulation, is a result of Federal Reserve loans, which means debt. It is a perpetual system in which there will never be enough money to pay the interest. Continuous Currency printing creates additional debt and an unstable economic environment. The Federal Reserve is a banker's bank, a private congressional cartel. It creates money by purchasing government securities with its money and burdens citizens with unpayable accumulating interest and taxes with an exponentially increasing debt which has inherent instability based on flawed mathematical principles. Congress created the Federal Reserve, a corporation, to function as a central bank. Many people repeat Eustace Mullins' claims that foreign banks own and control the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, just one of 12 such banks. Dr. Edward Flaherty questions his evidence that foreign banks own and annually profit from the system. Flaherty claims that the Fed actually pays its profits to the government. Again, remember Clint's article, Federal Reserve pays Treasury $75 billion in profit, substantiated by mandated records. And I have a link to both of these on today's date on my website. It organized the at least that was the way that Congress initially set it up. It organized the 12 Federal Reserve banks into separate corporations. Commercial banks operating within the bank's district purchases shares. Those shareholders select the president and six of the nine directors for their Federal Reserve Bank. In 1983, Mullins claimed that Citibank, Morgan Guaranty Trust, Chemical Bank, Manufacturers Hanover Trust, Bankers Trust Company, Chase Manhattan, National Bank of North America, and the Bank of New York owned 63% of the stock of the New York Fed's stock. He wrote that the Rothschild banking dynasty and approximately a dozen other European banks owned those banks holding 63% of the stock. According to a House of Representatives report in 1976, and of course anybody can enter anything in the congressional record, six banks, Chase, National City, Guaranty Trust, J.P. Morgan, Hanover, and Manufacturers Trust purchased controlling stock in the Federal Reserve Bank in New York in 1914. Mullins claimed that the financial power of England, centered with the House of Rothschild, controlled the most powerful man in the United States, with the implication that, since 1910, England, and more specifically the Rothschilds, ruled America. He further claimed that when Congress passed the Federal Reserve Act, and I quote, the Constitution ceased to be the governing covenant of the American people, and our liberties were handed over to a small group of international bankers, unquote. Actually, that document ceased to exist when the ink dried. Several decades before, when Congress began functioning in their own behalf instead of serving the citizens' needs. Remember back in 1775 with the Secret Committee? If the Rothschilds and their ilk actually do maintain a large measure of financial influence in the United States, we need to remember that it could not function without the very willing complicity of the majority of Congress. Mullins stated that the Federal Reserve Bulletin contained the names of the New York Fed stockholders, although, according to Flaherty, neither it nor any other federal periodical ever published such information. The Securities and Exchange Commission, established on June 6, 1934, does not require the publication of a list of key shareholders in a non-publicly traded corporation. One may scrutinize the legalities of acquiring such stock to determine ownership. The Federal Reserve Act required national and state banks to buy shares in their regional Federal Reserve Bank in order to join the system. The eight nationally chartered banks that he named were within the New York Federal District and as such were required to buy stock in that entity and were, as he argued, probably the primary shareholders. Those almost 25,000 banks plus thousands more are currently part of the Federal Reserve System. Gary Kaa, K-A-H, who claims anonymous informants, is a former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana state government. His list of shareholders, different than Mullen's list, is the Rothschild banks in both in London and Berlin, Lazard Brothers in Paris, Israel Moses Seif in Italy, Warburg Bank in Hamburg and Amsterdam, Lehman Brothers in New York, Kuhn Loeb in New York, Chase Manhattan and Goldman Sachs in New York. According to Ka, foreign owners did not purchase major interest in U.S. banks, but owned them directly, despite the fact that the U.S. government never issued public stock. Title 12, U.S. Code, Section 283, the law on public subscription to capital stock states, and I quote, "No individual, co-partnership, or corporations other than a member bank of its district shall be permitted to subscribe for or to hold at any time more than $25,000 par value of stock in any Federal Reserve Bank. Such stock shall be known as public stock and may be transferred on the books of the Federal Reserve Bank by the chairman of the board of directors of such bank," unquote. According to the Federal Reserve Act, officials could sell public stock only if the member banks in 1913 failed to initially generate $4 million, which they did accomplish. Therefore, officials never sold public stock to anyone, including foreigners, but rather to banks that belonged to the Federal Reserve System. However, given the passage of time, the numerous myths and congressional corruptness, not much has changed since 1913. Mullins claimed that the New York banks owned the largest percentage of stock in the New York Fed and could select the president and board of directors, giving them managerial control of the Fed's actions. However, official policy restricts each commercial bank to only one vote, despite the number of shares it holds, as opposed to other corporations in which the biggest shareholder dominates. It is highly unlikely that any small group of member banks would spend the necessary billions of dollars to exercise control over the votes of at least half of over 1,000 member banks that make up the New York Federal Reserve District. While it is easier to attribute the nation's apparent economic woes to ominous, untouchable foreign bankers, the fact is that Congress has control. Mullins and Kaa claimed that foreign interests, by controlling the New York Fed, ruled the Federal Reserve System and therefore managed the U.S. economy. Yet, the president appointed 7-member Board of Governors and the Federal Open Market Committee, the FOMC, control the system, not the New York Fed, which has only one vote out of 12. The Senate approves the president's selection of the board, which then determines interest rates, commercial bank loans, the obligatory reserve ratio, and the issuance of new currency each year. And that's according to the U.S. Code. The FOMC, composed of the board, the New York Fed president, and 4 presidents from other Fed banks, regulates the amount of government bonds that the Fed banks may trade. The Federal Reserve Bank must maintain its reserve ratio and cannot issue additional currency or buy government bonds unless the board or the FOMC approves. The board and the FOMC determines U.S. economic policies and not international bankers or the Federal Advisory Council, a board appointed. Oops, got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
John Statmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy 3. This is a massive savings of $600 on a 4-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, veteran-owned and operated.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendovite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendovite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendovite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All righty, I am back. Okay, the board, meaning the FOMC, the board, and the FR Bank. Okay, let me backtrack here. The FR Bank must maintain its reserve ratio and cannot issue additional currency or buy government bonds unless the board, the Federal Reserve Board, or the FOMC approves. The board and the FOMC determine U.S. economic policies and not international bankers or the Federal Advisory Council, a board-appointed non-voting group that consults quarterly with the board about economic conditions. Mullins, who did some wonderful work, attributes extraordinary exclusive power to this council, which directly contradicts his claim that European bankers control the New York Fed and the nation's economy. And by the way, we will take some callers if you would like to call in. That number is 800-313-9443. The Federal Reserve System, a corporation, is incredibly successful and accrues huge profits, according to an agreement between the board and the Treasury. Since 1947, the Fed pays the majority of those profits to the U.S. Treasury. It dispenses the remainder, less than 1%, to its stockholders as dividends. Every issue of Federal Reserve paper is a lien upon the products of labor. The federal government is responsible for the unequal distribution of wealth. Warfare is one of its biggest expenditures, currently exceeded by bureaucratic agencies. Jewish or international bankers, without particular national loyalties or regard for those used as cannon fodder, typically fund both sides of every war and often have major investments in or outright ownership of ammunition production facilities. Guaranteed contracts for tons of one-time-use bullets and bombs are tremendously more lucrative than selling cars and washing machines to consumers. Henry Kissinger, one-time U.S. Secretary of State, said, and I quote, "Military men are just dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns for foreign policy." The senators and representatives, crony close to those highly profitable corporations, make millions of dollars, just as Nelson W. Aldrich did in his day. The elite view these opportunities as more important than the reasonable needs of society. The parasitic elite, who produce nothing but live off the efforts of others, use bureaucrats and brute force to control the masses. The question one should always ask is, quo bono, who to whose benefit, or literally, as a benefit to whom? So, keep in mind, the real test of a truther is when he or she can change their opinion based on evidence. I've given you some evidence regarding the Federal Reserve. Okay, we'll take some callers. Gary in Montana. Gary, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Deanna, for taking my call.
Well, you're welcome.
I was on Paul Eisen's blogspot last night.
On whose blogspot?
Paul Eisen.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. He writes some good stuff.
Right. His article yesterday was, "This is Dov Hikind, H-I-K-I-N-D. He's an assemblyman from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And he just persuaded a guy named Mr. Santoro, who is the...
from Pennsylvania?
Well, I'm not sure where he's from, but he's the head of MasterCard Worldwide.
Oh, right, right. I read that letter, yes.
Okay, but now the bad part is that... Okay, this guy from the MasterCard has pulled a line of credit for the Institute of Historical Review.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
David Irving of Focal Point, the Barnes Review, and Castle Hill Publishers.
I think they've done it with other organizations, too. I don't think that, I know that the PayPal does not honor CODO. C-O-D-O-H. They are really making it very difficult for people to purchase books and other materials from websites that disseminate the truth. And
I found your book on Barnes Review. That's why I wanted to relate this bit of information, but apparently you're aware of it.
Well, I'm aware of it regarding certain organizations, such as the Institute for Historical Review, because I did read that letter. But that is really something. I mean, they are really working overtime to keep the truth from coming out, and it's very unfortunate.
Yeah,
very,
of course, Mr. Hikind is a member of the tribe. He's pictured with his little skull cap on, and it's just more of the same, you know, dominating the media. But there is an address here that people that have MasterCard cards could write.
Okay, why don't you share that with us?
It's Richard Santoro, S-A-N-T-O-R-O, lobbyist, vice president, government affairs, MasterCard Worldwide, 2000... Purchase Street, Purchase, New York, 10577. And I would sure hope that people with MasterCards would cut them up and write a letter to Mr. Santoro as to why they did so.
Gary, that's really a good idea. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
My pleasure. You do yeoman's work. When I'm not groveling in the dirt for fiat, I tune in.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And you.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's take Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, welcome to the program.
Well, hello there, Deanna.
Hi.
May I thank you for such a superlative piece of investigative journalage?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Is this particular piece that you've been reading from today available on the website, or is it in one of your books?
It's in my second book.
Your second book. And would you repeat the title of that one for us that are paying attention?
The Ruling Elite, The Zionist Seizure of World Power.
What a marvelous expose with so much truth in it that most of us have never been exposed to before.
I think that we have just gobbled up all the myths, and we don't bother to read. And it's very important, it's essential that people read things that are outside of the alternative media, that we read both sides of every situation and every issue. Otherwise, how can we make a valid opinion? How can we make valid conclusions if we only hear one side of a story? And it doesn't matter whether that story is coming from the alternative media or from the mainstream media. We need to read further. And too many people simply don't read. They simply repeat bullet points that they've heard, and they're willing to do anything. They're willing to fight for those conclusions, and they're not even their own conclusions, for Pete's sake. It's just something they heard, and then they repeat it.
Well, you know, you're precisely right to a point. I just picked up a little book that I found at the Goodwill on their half-off senior shopping day for a mere 99 cents, The Secret History of the Ku Klux Klan. And it brings to light that the Klan actually protected many black families from the carpetbaggers of the Union from the North that came down to pillage the South.
Exactly.
And so many of the stories that we hear are fairy tales of the Pharisees, or those who call themselves Jews, who have repeated or reframed their stories of truth to suit their own political agendas of trying to rewrite history that favors their point of view or their political or religious terrorist agenda.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness, we've run out of time.
Oh, what a great show. Thank you so much, Deanna.
Well, thank you, Chris. And thank you, listeners, for listening today. And we'll talk to you on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.